Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. You listen to episode 353 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you this week. And coming up on the show, we'll be finding out about a brand new charity single that's been released by Keith Locke. Jason Guy, the man behind a fundraising campaign to raise cash for breast cancer now, will be on the line to tell us more. And also this week, we'll be hearing from the cast of Lift the Musical. It's been put on by South Staffs Musical Theatre at Technall College from the 31st of March through to the 2nd of April. And we'll be hearing from the guys very soon with a little sample of one of the songs from the show. We'll be hearing all about ABBA Mania, which arrives at the Grand Theatre in April. And also at the Grand is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We'll be catching up with the narrator Lucy Kay on the line today. And we have music from In Isolation, when Ryan will be giving us a shout to have a chat about their songs and listen to some of their new work. But first of all, on Sunday the 17th of April, Pasha Kovalev brings It's All About You to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, and he's on the phone now to tell us more about the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, good to talk to you, because you're used to appearing all over the place. What with being the professional winner of Strictly Come Dancing in 2014, the tours that you've already brought to the stage, and I'm sure many people have been out and seen Life Through the Dance tour, and that's obviously going to spark them to want to come and see you on stage again.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's my fifth tour around UK. Every spring, summer, I go around the country. Every single time, it's a brand new show. It's totally redesigned. And it's brand new dances, brand new music, costumes, choreography. So even if people already have seen my show, they will find this one completely different. Plus, this time around, It's All About You brings a singer in the mix. So to make it even more interesting for people. And in general, I try to cater to the entire family, so kids and their parents and their grandparents can all come and enjoy it, because I have a wide variety of music, something from what you can hear on the radio right now, mixed up with classics and oldies that everyone love. And of course, there is a little story going on, and of course, it's a love story, because with dancing, I think love stories are told the best, and it's a feel-good kind of show, and people always walk out smiling after it.
Well, not only have you got the dancing, but there's also going to be a bit of chat as well, and it makes it much more of a fun night, as you say, a big family experience.
You know what, I love involving my audience in what's going on stage, and at some point, of course, we have a little bit of banter, a little bit of comedy going on, and later in the show I get a few people a chance to get up on stage and do a little bit of dancing, so maybe if you're coming to see the show, maybe it's going to be you.
I promise you it won't be me, because that would actually probably clear the dance floor immediately. However, if you fancy that, worthwhile getting yourself down there for. But you've got a fantastic guest star as well, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have a beautiful cast of dancers. I have an amazing singer, Ricky Rojas, and I have Anya, my dance partner of so many years that we create shows together now. It's just great to work with people, you know, it's great to work with people that inspire you. So the whole process of getting ready for the show and now actually touring is just very pleasant.
How did you become inspired to take up dancing in the first place?
When I was a little boy, my mom took me to a dance competition, dance show. So it was also done on stage, but it was a proper dance competition with judges and couples swirling around and turning around the whole stage and dancing, and I just loved it. It was a lot of energy. I was growing up in cold Siberia, so it was February, I think, and it was so cold outside, but then suddenly on stage you see all those lights and all that kind of fiesta going on, so I told my mom, well, why won't you take me to where I can learn how to dance? But actually, I was more thinking where I can meet those girls for on stage.
So meeting the girls and keeping warm, that's what's important when it comes to dancing in Siberia.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Those are very important factors, yes.
And how does it differ when you're choreographing for a tour like this as opposed to when you're choreographing on something like Strictly?
Totally two different experiences. Well, first of all, on Strictly, you know you're dancing in front of millions of people who watch you at home, but you also have a celebrity with you who might not always know or try dancing beforehand, so it's kind of starting from scratch. And at the end, with giving enough time, they become better and they kind of transform into beautiful dancers. But on my tour, all the dancers are professionals, so we can go straight to difficult and fun stuff, and we can create beautiful storyline told through the language of dance, because that's what we did all our lives. And I guess the other factor would be that on the tour, I can actually see the people. I see people who came to see the show. It's that live interaction between audience members and dancers, that special bond you create during that two-hour show. That's what makes it special for me, because as a performer, it means nothing if I don't have someone to share it with. So without audience, my performance kind of loses the meaning. That's why it's so important for me to go to the theaters and perform in front of live audience.
It just injects even more energy into the performance you're able to give.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's constant energy exchange between audience and dancers, because dancers trying to do their best, and I'm talking about myself, and then you feel that audience react to that and you want to do even more, and audience react to that even more. So it's kind of recharge one another. Audience recharge dancers, dancers recharge audience. It's just an transcribable feeling, but I think I'm hooked since I was a little boy on that feeling.
And when it comes to the costumes as well, are you having a hand in the design process? Are you helping put this together? Because it's a lavish production overall, isn't it?
Yes, of course. If we're talking about Strictly, there is a very professional team runs behind the scenes doing all the costumes. And whenever you're preparing for the dance, you express your idea, and with the production you decide on the music, and then from there you try to decide what kind of costume is going to be and which direction you're going. And the same on the tour, I just based the costumes on the dances we're doing, because it depends what we're trying to say with the dance, what kind of atmosphere we're trying to create. That's what determines the costume, and that's how we choose them, and then they get made, and then we wear them with a lot of sparkle.
Your sparkle's always good. It looks good under the lights. And when it comes to actually putting the different styles of dance together, what can we expect to see on stage?
In my show, It's All About You, you will see everything you used to see on Strictly Come Dances. Beautiful waltzes and foxtrots, dramatic tangos, fiery pasodobles, fun jives and cha-chas. Everything what you've seen on Strictly Come Dancing on TV, as far as dance styles, would be present on the show. So if you like certain dance, it will be, I'm making sure it is there. So the whole spectrum of all the dances.
And that'll help you tell the story, because the love story's always got an exciting bit, a passionate bit, a relaxing part, and that romantic waltz as well. So you've got absolutely everything thrown in for good measure.
Oh, yes, you got it. Have you seen the show already? You speak like you know it.
Which dance in the show are you most proud of?
Oh, every single dance is like a little baby. It's like you're not going to go to your kids and say, okay, you know what, you're my favorite and you I don't like. No, each and every dance, because you invest all of you into it, becomes part of you. And all together, they create a beautiful spectrum, like a different light create a rainbow. So you cannot imagine rainbow without blue color, for example, right? So it's the same here. So I wouldn't say I have my favorite dance, but I know that people really enjoyed some contemporary rumba we have in the show. People enjoy pasodobles, a little bit of drama, things like that. I think people react very well to.
Well, Patrick Kovalev brings It's All About You to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Sunday the 17th of April. 7:30 is showtime. Tickets are priced at £21.50 through to £32.50. You can book online at grandtheatre.co.uk or call the box office on 01902 429212. But for now, Pasha, thanks for joining us. Have a great time on stage and enjoy the tour, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Wolverhampton in April.
Thank you so much for having me. Hope to see you all soon.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Bye-bye.
Let's take some music from In Isolation now. This is A Certain Fractal Light.
Mutual, so long.
That's A Certain Fractal Light from In Isolation. To tell us more about it, Ryan Swift, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how's your world?
Yeah, not too bad at the moment, yeah.
Good stuff.
Looking forward to the album release coming up very soon.
Yes, because that's out on the 15th of April.
It is, yeah.
And the single is out now. If you want to find out more, you'll be able to do that online. It's all on II Records, so you can get the whole thing by looking at that. And I'll take it you'll be on iTunes and everything as well, won't you?
That's it, the usual places, yeah, all over there.
Well, we'll be previewing some of the songs as we head through the show. But in the meantime, tell us more about you and the band.
Right, well, we've been around a little while, releasing singles for the last couple of years, really, and we thought it was about time we got around to doing an album. We took about 6 months to write it, went in the studio with Gavin Monaghan, who has produced for Editors, Paolo Nutini, people like that.
Well, Gavin Monaghan just down the road at Magic Garden Studios from us here in Wolverhampton, which helps as well.
Of course, that's right, yes, he's local to you, yeah, absolutely, yeah, great guy.
He's a top quality producer and has worked with, as you say, so many people. And it may be called Magic Gardens, but because it is actual magic that he creates when he's doing his work, isn't it?
Certainly seems to be, yeah. Like you say, he's got some sort of magic at his fingertips. He knows what he's doing and he can get a great sound, and we're really happy to have worked with him.
When you're taking ideas to him, how does that creative process actually work? Because you must have an idea how the song's going to go before you start.
That's right. I mean, to be honest, the way we've done it recently, we've got a pretty good idea of what we want to do. The structures are all there, the vocals and the lyrics are all there. We just rely on Gavin to sort of instinctively know how to put it all together and come out with that thing that he does.
How long has it taken you then to put the actual album together? Because you say you've been releasing singles for a while, but was it a fresh work that you came to for the album, or was it a reinvention of the songs you already were working with?
Yeah, we decided on this one we were going to start from scratch, really. It would have been quite easy just to take those singles that I'd mentioned, but we thought, well, let's do something a bit special. Let's start from scratch, do it in 6 months, write the whole thing and write it that way. And that is the way it actually worked out. There was a bit of a delay for the actual release of the album because it was supposed to be at the end of last year, but there's various things that happen and, we sort of pushed that back. But we do have a solid date now.
Yeah, because I mean, you've been working together for about 7 years, so it's a sound that you've honed, and you've probably got a absolutely fantastic live following there who had been eagerly awaiting this album.
Well, yeah, they have been waiting a long time, yes. We've got some great fans from all over the world, actually, and we've had some really nice messages from them, and they seem to be as happy as we are that it's finally out.
And how do you classify your sound? Because it's never easy pigeonholing, and it's a frightening thing to actually do, but you must have an area you think you're looking to sell to.
I think it's in the sort of the new wave category, and that's just taken from our influences, really, from the sort of the 80s, really. We do take some influences from sort of mid-noughties, really. There was a lot of indie bands like Editors and Block Party that came along that we really liked. like. It's kind of an amalgamation of those two eras, but trying to keep it current and modern as well, and that's kind of what we've gone for.
Where do you see yourselves going next? Obviously, the album is due out during April. There's got to be a massive tour heading out across the country at some point in the near future.
That's our plan, yes. We haven't booked it completely yet, but what we decided to do, rather than coincide it with the release of the album, we thought, well, let's get the album to the ears first, because that's the difficult bit, getting people to hear it. And once you know it's been rolling around their heads a while, then get those dates set, and so that's the plan. We've actually also got a little TV spot as well, which we're quite pleased about. That's coming along on the 8th of April on Notts TV, the little local channel. So, yeah, that should be good as well.
I'm sure you'll be sharing that online as soon as you're able to get some footage from it. What is the website if people do want to find out more?
It's simple. It's inisolation.co.uk. So it's simple.
Inisolation.co.uk, and you can get T-shirts, CDs. Do look out for them on tour. It is a fantastic sound. We're going to enjoy more of it. What song should we take next?
How about Parlance?
So your single from earlier on this year, this is Parlance from In Isolation. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having us. That's Parlance from In Isolation. This week sees the release of a brand new charity single, raising money for Breast Cancer Now. To tell us more about it, Jason Guy, hello.
Hello there, Jason, how you doing?
I'm good. I trust I find you well?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Busy once again, as you know.
Yeah, you're a very, very busy man. I know you're working on a football tournament and there's all sorts of charity work you get involved with. And I know a big one is raising funds in the name of your late wife, Lucy.
That's right, that's right, which is obviously very important to me. To date, we've raised just under £100,000. So I'm really pleased with how the fundraising is going. obviously the next aim now is to get to a quarter of a million, which I reckon we'll do in the next 3 years.
I know there's going to be a lot of people willing to support you. It's an excellent cause and in memory of a fantastic young lady. And to that end, a brand new single has been released, as I say, and this is the work of Keith Locke.
That's correct. Keith Locke was actually in a band in the 70s called The Light Fantastic. It's got a great story. I mean, it was in the charts, etc., you know, back in the 70s. And he's a real character, Keith. He's a good friend of mine. And he actually approached me with the idea. And he said, Jason, I'd like to write a song for Lucy. Now, I was a bit concerned at first because, you know, I was thinking, right, what if I don't like it? You know, and he's put a lot of time into it. And I've got to say, Jason, he played it to me and we was both in tears. It's a fantastic track. It's not sad, but, it's very poignant to mine and Lucy's story, really. But it's very upbeat, which is the most important thing, which is what I wanted. And that's actually released on iTunes today.
You can get a hold of that now. So all you need to do is search in iTunes for the song, which is called Hello Lucy Guy, G-U-Y is the spelling on that one. And Keith Locke, L-O-C-K-E, is the name of the performer. You can pick it up there. And the important bit is every single sale raises funds for Breast Cancer Now.
Correct. Every single penny of the sale goes to Breast Cancer Now. Basically, the sales of this single will take us over the 100,000 mark.
It's absolutely excellent news. Keep up the good work, is all I'm going to say for you. I know Lucy must be looking down on you, immensely proud of what you've done, carrying on the work that you were doing together before she sadly passed.
That means the world to me. Thank you for that, Jace. I'm sure she is.
I'll talk to you soon. Keep us posted on what's going on. And we look forward to finding out how the total is going. We'll speak to you as soon as you've got another charity event on the way.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Jason.
But for now, we will take a listen to the song. This is Hello, Lucy Guy by Keith Locke.
Searching for that perfect girl, it don't come easy.
That's Keith Locke with Hello Lucy Guy. Please go online, buy that now. It's in an excellent cause, raising funds for breast cancer now. So please, if you can, go along, buy that and do your bit and make a difference.
I'm with the cast and production team of Lift the Musical. First of all, guys, say hello.
Hello!
Alf, you're looking after the production side of things and directing here. So tell us a bit about your take on this.
Well, first of all, it's a bit of an unusual musical.
It's quite rude in places, I'm told.
Oh, yeah, it is. I can't deny that. It's a British concept musical, so it's about everyday life. So it's what you'd expect to hear out there on the streets, I suppose. There is a bit of language in it. But it's a short musical as well. It's a one-act musical, and it's all about eight people in a lift at Covent Garden in London.
How do you produce a lift? From a production side of things, are you building a lift on stage?
No, we're not. Otis are not involved in this. It's all about eight different characters that get together, seen through the eyes of a busker who's there every day at Covent Garden. And he sees these eight characters while he's busking. It's through his eyes that we see these characters and how they all converge with each other.
Yeah, because we get a snapshot of each of their lives through his imaginings, mostly. And we'll now meet the characters themselves. So, Abby, who are you?
I'm playing the French teacher.
Did you have to brush up on your French for this? Is there a bit of accent work there?
No, not at all.
From your point of view, how do you see your character?
She has very mixed emotions. Her partner's disappeared to Paris, so she's heartbroken, really. She's very frustrated. And she goes to the lap dancer to try and get a bit of comfort and for her to try and help her out.
So next we'll to meet the lap dancer then.
My name is Lexi Bennett and I am the lap dancer.
So tell us a bit about your character.
Apart
from the lap dancing bit, we get that bit. Dancer.
She's actually a ballerina and her best friend is also the guy who she speaks about a lot, who she's actually in love with. But unfortunately, he's gay. He has no interest in her whatsoever and she's absolutely heartbroken because she's like so totally in love with him. Obviously, she makes friends with the French teacher as well, because when the French teacher comes to visit the lap dancer, it's not for a dance, it's to tour. She books her session so they can talk to each other about life and things like that, so it's really interesting.
So there's some interesting psychological aspects of this play, as well as exploring different people's likes and interests. Yeah. So let's move to our busker next. Adam, tell us a bit about your role.
So yeah, basically I am the busker who just chills outside the lift in Covent Garden Station most mornings, sees the same people. He's recently separated from his wife, so there's a lot of anger and frustration in a few letters that pop up during the show. And the whole premise of the show is basically what goes on in his head, his songwriting about these people that he sees every morning for the 54 seconds that they are in that lift together on their commutes to work.
He's got quite a furtive imagination, hasn't he, really?
Yeah, he's not quite all there, is he? he has a very creative mind, shall we say.
And is it something you echo? Is this an aspect of your own life that you've now decided to take on and start imagining what everybody else is doing on the bus when you're heading into Volvo?
I feel that could be a little bit too much information.
Okay, so we'll leave that one there and move on to the next of the eight.
Hi, my name's David and I'm playing the ballet dancer in this show.
So what does a ballet dancer get up to? Keep it clean.
It's quite hard to keep it clean with my part in the show. Unfortunately, no ballet dancing on stage. He is the character that Lexi was telling you about earlier. He's friends with the lap dancer. He is gay, but when he goes back home from London, he acts straight and nobody back home knows that he is gay. So when he's down in London, he lets loose, basically, which is why you see all of this sexual behaviour from him. And he talks about it quite a lot, but he's actually acting really in his life. He doesn't know how to find his sexual identity, and it's quite a serious side to actually, although it's quite funny as well. To watch as an audience member, it's got quite a tale behind it as well, so it's quite interesting.
And have you seen a production of this, so did you know where you're coming from with it, or is it just from the direction that's helped you through?
Mostly from the direction, but we have been lucky enough to watch video footage of the original London cast that did it as well, so I had some guidance from that too.
And we won't go into some of the details you've already told me about that, but this is where the adult content comes in. However, we'll move on to our next member of the cast from the lift. And you can't move around that much in a lift. It's quite a confined space. So what's your name, please?
Ellie, and I'm playing athletic and wearing a thong.
So, again, this is where more of the adult content comes into this, I take it.
Basically, my character is the online persona of the ballet dancer. He goes online to chat up straight men, but pretends that he's a girl. And that's me.
And complete with thong.
Yeah. The way the ballet dancer makes out this girl to be is like she's really sexual and stuff, because that's basically he wants the dude to like him back, but instead the dude likes the girl. So it's like, yeah.
Who should we meet next? Your name, please.
My name's David. I'm playing Tall, Dark and Handsome, which is the online persona of the businessman. It's very similar to Ellie's part in that he goes online, he looks for straight women to chat up, unbeknownst to him that he's actually being chatted up by a bloke. He's very shy and very timid in himself, including his online persona, which breaks down throughout the course of the show.
So another exploration of a character, and quite hard work to play, I'm going to guess.
No.
I wasn't about the Tall, Dark and Handsome bit. You can carry that off quite easily.
Fine. Yeah, it's very complex character because you are playing, in essence, a non-corporeal character in terms of he doesn't actually exist in reality.
We've impressed the rest of the cast with the long words. We'll move on to the next member of the Lift posse, I suppose.
I'm Kate. I'm playing the secretary.
And what does the secretary get up to?
The secretary is the woman that the busker has been seeing every day, and he's been writing a song about her, although he doesn't know anything about her. And she's also in love with her boss, who's in the lift, and kind of will do anything for him, and is secretly kind of in love with him, but he doesn't know that.
It's quite an interesting cross-section of people all interacting, even though they are in part strangers. They virtually know nothing about each other, yet they've all got this very specific idea about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's in the lift, and one or two of them know each other, but actually, ultimately, none of them know anything about the other's lives. However, throughout the show, we realise that they're all interacting with each other somehow without knowing it.
Which leaves me just one more of the crew in the lift, and I'm guessing you're the businessman.
Yes, my name's Marcus and I'm playing Bright Young Thing. I'm the boss of the secretary. My character, his ex-partner left him about a year ago, and he sort of escapes into the online chat world to escape, I guess, his emotions about that. And that's where he chats with the ballet dancer online. And Dave obviously plays my online persona.
An interesting way of working this, and from a directorial point of view, have they all been really good?
They've been fantastic, actually. They're all young members of South Staff's musical theatre company, but they are absolutely talented. Every single one of them has been fantastic.
So if you want to get yourself along, it is on the 31st of March through to the 2nd of April. It's at Technical College Theatre. How do you get hold of tickets?
From South Staff's Facebook page or from any members of South Staff's musical theatre company.
And of course you can find that online just by googling South Staff's musical theatre. Break a leg, have a great time, and don't do whatever it is you do in the lift and the play in real life, will you? Tuesday the 17th of May to Saturday the 21st sees Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. And whenever a production comes along like this, you need someone to tell the story. In this case, it's Lucy Kay, the narrator. Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
I'm good. I'm really good, actually. Thank you.
Yes, and a classic tale. And in some ways, everybody there should know a good chunk of this story, but you're there to bring it to life for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always loved it. It's been a big part of my childhood. So to be able to play the role of the narrator is fantastic, a part that I never thought I'd get. But it's quite tiring. I'm on stage constantly. I think I go off just once for a sip of water and then I'm back on again. So I literally am telling the whole story about Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
For you, though, this is an interesting role to take, in as much as you're very often a classical soloist.
Yes, I am. Obviously, I sing opera and classical music, so this is my musical theatre debut. It's a different genre of music for me, and it's been a challenge, but it's been such a good one. And I kind of wanted to prove to people that I wasn't just a one-trick pony, and that I could lend myself to other genres of music. So there's a lot of belting going off, which I'm really enjoying. A lot of low notes and growling. I'm just having a wonderful time, really.
It's a step away from your usual soprano role, for definite.
Absolutely. But I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying being on stage. It feels very comfortable for me to be there. And I'm really, really glad I took on the part.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting as well, because obviously you're normally performing as part of a musical piece. This time, you are performing with lots of action taking place around you. And it must be so tempting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I can watch it, but then I have to sing again. So then I really have to do concentrate, because it's easy to, you know, get lost in the moment, especially when Joe's singing at the end. And I have to join him, close every door. And I could get lost in it and just forget to actually walk on. But that's not happened yet. So I am still very much there. But it's important for my role not to be too distracting either, that I'm just telling the story. Everyone's watching what's going on. So I've not got to be too busy myself. But it's good fun.
But without you, obviously, it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
No. You have the power.
I do.
And with this sort of work, then, is this something which is going to interest you to take further? Obviously, this Absolutely. Has got quite a long way to run at the moment, but do you fancy something like this in your future work?
I do. Do you know what? I'm absolutely loving it. I mean, I've sang classical and opera since I was 7 years old, so it's always something that's going to be very close to my heart and the number one thing in my life that I've done and got me through the tough times and the good times. But it won't be a change in direction, but it will just be something that I can do as well as my classical singing. I find this is very much more exciting, and I'd love to be part of future productions, whatever that may be. You know, I'd love to be in Cats, although I can't really dance that well, but you know, I'd love to be in absolutely anything. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, really glad to be playing this part.
But I'm sure, as you say, you're still going to pop up doing things like your private dinners you've had at Windsor Castle, that sort of stuff.
Yes.
All your ITV This Morning work and all the other little bits of TV. You keep appearing all over the place.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, don't you? It's just part of being good at what you do, and clearly you are.
Yeah, thank you.
So it's we're looking forward to seeing you on stage. And what is your favourite song in the show? Because obviously you're involved in a big quantity of them. So is there a favourite one to sing and maybe a favourite one to listen to?
I opened the show with Some Folk's Dream, and I take two little children around and I sing the story to them. And it's my absolute favourite because I always get little cuties. And it's such a beautiful piece. It's like a little lullaby in it, in a sense. But it's about opening the story about what's going to happen, and I think that's really exciting. But my absolute favourite is actually when we get to the brothers bit and they're grovelling, and then we're accusing which one could it be. I'm going, is it Reuben? Is it Simeon? I'm shouting out, and then we realise that it's Benjamin, and it's really intense, and all the children on stage go, yes, 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 and it's just, oh, it's just a really good one that gets the heart racing. I love that.
What is it like for you with life on the road as well? Because it's different probably to playing a concert venue, in as much as you'll be in the same place for a week, whereas you maybe only do one or two shows if you're doing something classical.
Absolutely, yeah. I am loving it, I have to say. I mean, I'm obviously on tour now till July, so it's quite a big contract, something I've never really done before. I think I went on tour with Calabro about 2 months, but that we had time off in between that. This is very, very intense, but I have such an amazing cast to work with, and we all get on like a house on fire, and I'm always in with Joe's car with him, and we're always going to little hotels and digs together, and especially with the boys, you know, George and Jamie and
because you do have a lot of brothers in this, so there are a lot of men hanging around.
They are.
There's not many female parts in this, are there?
There's not. There's three girls. We have Tilly, Gemma and Sammy, and they are absolutely adorable. They're so lovely. And our dressing rooms are near to each other, so we always pop in and we have a little tea and stuff, things like that. It's really nice. But all the casts are just fantastic to work with. They're brilliant.
And the look of the show is very unique as well. You're set across Egypt, all over the place. You've got lots of very bold colours in here, aside of the coat itself.
Yeah.
So what's it like for the outfits that are involved in this for you?
Well, I'm in all black, but I've got a waistcoat. I call it the waistcoat of dreams. And it's got a moon and stars all down, patterns on it. And it's really cool. It's quite funky. And then, obviously, all the brothers are wearing different colours. And it's very vibrant. I love Joe's coat. It's amazing. Especially at the end, I feel like he's doing a Beyonce number, actually. It's really cool.
Has he let you try it on?
He hasn't, no. I don't think he ever will do either.
Have words.
He
sneak
loves
in.
It.
So, box, sneak in the dressing room, borrow the coat, quick selfie, tweet it at him, see what happens.
Do you know what I should do?
Go
I might
it.
Do that.
Don't tell him I said, or I'll be in trouble when he's in Wolverhampton.
I love it.
Lucy Kay, thank you for joining us. It sounds like it's going to be brilliant fun when Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat comes to the stage of the Grand Theatre from the 17th to the 21st of May. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets online, or you can give the box office a call on 01902 429212. But Lucy Kay, thank you for joining us. We look forward to you narrating at us in full pelt with soprano bits, bass bits and whatever else you need to do to get that story across.
Thank you very much.
See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Let's take some more music from In Isolation. This is Elder Statesman.
this. The tenure in Vogue or David, he redefines our taste. In pretty things he throws our way. Did it for your planned escape? Young hopes for a new dawn nailed it. An elder statesman stole it. All the Martians love a day.
Elder Statesman from In Isolation. On Thursday, the 21st of April, Abermania hits Wolverhampton. They're long at the Grand Theatre for a brilliant night of music. Tamsin Littlewoods joins me on the phone, Ed. Tell me more. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm very excited to be coming to Wolverhampton. I'm a Worcester girl. That's where I kind of grew up, so not too far away.
Just down the road.
Yes.
But Party Time will be with us and some fantastic music. You can't go wrong with the songs of ABBA, can you?
Do you know what, you can't, and it's just timeless. What we love about doing this show is we look out into the audience and you often have, you know, grandmas there and also their grandkids there, and it spans sort of all the generations. And everyone's up dancing, just having the most brilliant time, and we get such a buzz out of that from being on stage, looking out and seeing everybody sort of dancing in the aisles. It's great fun.
Now, there are so many hits. How do you fit it all in? How does the show work?
Well, it's like a concert show, so it's basically two acts are just back-to-back ABBA songs. We've got all the costumes, we do, you know, all the dance routines. And I think we've got all the songs in there. I don't think there's any that we're missing. There's a couple that people might not have heard of as well, which is quite nice, but generally it's just sort of the greatest hits of ABBA.
Yeah, well, they had over a decade of music and it really brought a smile to people's faces. Now, I'm going to guess that you're neither Bjorn or nor Benny, no?
Well, do you know what? My voice is a bit hoarse today because I've been doing a lot of gigs lately, so I could probably get away with being Bjorn. But no, I play Agnetta, so I'm normally a brunette, so it's quite nice to put on a blonde wig and see if blondes have more fun. I have played both roles, but at the moment I'm playing Agnetta.
And when you're working on an event like this and doing this tour, it must be brilliant fun. But equally, do you get into the role? Do you start talking a Swedish accent and going the whole hog?
Do you know what? We get so worried about our Swedish accents, me and the girls, because we just think, oh my goodness me, you know, we're pulling this off, because you tend to go into the standard sort of foreign accent. And sometimes I do a bit more chat and go off script if there's a group of people just up in the audience, you know, I have a little chat with them or whatever. And sometimes I think this really doesn't sound very Swedish. But then we had a Swedish lady in the audience when we were over in Switzerland not so long ago. And she came up to me after the show and wanted an autograph and stuff. And she said to me, are you from Sweden? And I said, no. And she said, oh, I'm Swedish. I thought you were from Sweden. And I thought,
that's sweet.
Yes, that's brilliant. I must have sounded authentic.
And the costume changes. You say you got the clothes. There must be loads of costume changes. And there were some quite short skirts back in the day.
Very short skirts. I had to get into shape quite quickly back again after I'd had my children to get back into the lycra. But it's loads of sequins and sparkles and big high platform boots, which, you know, everybody loves to see and we actually love to wear. So it's great fun.
And dare I ask, do you have a favourite ABBA song?
Do you know what is interesting? I have favourite ones that I like to listen to, but then to perform and sing, it's completely different. I like to listen to, I've always loved Dancing Queen and Waterloo, but to actually sing on stage in the show, Fernando, the really beautiful song and a really lovely moment in the show, so I find that I really like that. And to sing, my big number in the show is Winner Takes It All, and that's kind of my diva moment, and I love it.
The other thing is you've got some great source material, because this is really when music videos are starting to come to the fore. So you've got some absolutely fantastic imagery of the boys and girls in the band, and that must be great to work with as well.
Yeah, it's really great, and it's really fascinating to look at that whole era. And what's lovely is we stay true to form to a certain extent, but we're also allowed to kind of put our own spin on it a little bit as well, because a lot of people in the audience, especially the younger people, probably haven't actually seen any ABBA videos or seen ABBA live, but they might have watched Mamma Mia the movie or seen Mamma Mia the musical and still love the music. So it's kind of a celebration of the music, but I love watching the old ABBA videos, like you said, and sort of like finessing the dance moves and try to stay as authentic to the era as I possibly can. And they were fantastic to watch, and it's great fun.
And what can we expect to see on the stage as well? Because obviously there's you guys in all your outfits, and are you all playing live as well?
Oh yeah, we've got a fantastic band. I've known and worked with these guys for a really long time, and they really are sort of top of their game, and we all just love being on stage together. We are genuinely friends, and we've travelled the world together now with this show and many other shows over the years. So there's a genuine friendship there. There's loads of camaraderie on the stage. Actually, our bass player is a guy called Anders, and he copies all of our dance moves. And I think once I went wrong, and in the interview said to me, yeah, I saw you go wrong, because he knew the dance moves better than I did. So they're kind of stealing the show a little bit, actually, the musicians behind us sometimes. They're getting a bit carried away with all the moves themselves. And it's all a live band, lots of lights, big disco balls, you know, what more could you want?
Yeah, and it's something you say, you've done them down the country, you've done London's West End, and it's just a fantastic feel-good show, bringing the music of ABBA to the life. And something, I mean, you can't see them on tour. Obviously, the guys are all still around, but they just don't do this sort of thing. I don't think we'll ever see an ABBA reunion, will we?
Oh, there was a picture of them in an opening of a restaurant recently, and that was, like, huge, because it's the only time in the past sort of 20 years they'd all been pictured together. We saw Bjorn and Benny quite a lot with the whole Mamma Mia thing. They were pictured out together, but the ladies have been quite reclusive since the other days. So that picture was like, oh my God, are they getting back together? Are they getting back together? But I don't think they are. I think it was just a very rare outing altogether. But wouldn't it be amazing if they did?
It'd be fantastic. Really amazing. But the important thing is, until they do, and even then beyond that, we do have you, which is what counts. ABBA Mania, Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Thursday, the 21st of April. 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk is the website. Tickets are priced at £20.50. It's a 7:30 start, and you've got to be there, because make sure you come down. And do your audience like to dress up as well and get into the feel of the thing?
We love that. We get loads of people dressing up, and we always give a shout out to the people that we think have made a real effort. And it is a case of literally, when I perform locally, my family come, and my 92-year-old grandma comes, and my 2-year-old daughter comes, and they're all up dancing in the aisles. And we encourage that. You don't have to sit and be polite. Come, have a little drink in the bar beforehand, and then come in and just forget all about your troubles and dance in the aisles with our ABBA Mania show.
It'll be a brilliant night, I'm absolutely sure. Tamsin Littlewoods, a.k.a. Agnetha, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in Wolverhampton on the 21st of April.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Try for now.
Thank you. Bye.
So that's it all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with episode 354 next week. See you then. Try for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.